Abraham was the founder of our faith. Moses was its lawgiver. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moses commanded the Torah for us. Morasha kihilat Yaakov, which became the heritage of the whole congregation of Jacob. We speak of Moses as Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. What sort of a man was he? What virtues, ideals of our faith are reflected in him? This man Moses, who towers above all, a giant among mankind's heroic figures. This man Moses has intrigued writers and dramatists, artists, painters, sculptors throughout the ages. And he's still an inspiration to many an author, many an artist. I think essentially Moses is a great human being. There's nothing mysterious about him, or baffling, or unfathomable. He's not like one of those distant personalities in the dim ages of the past, somehow loom large, which we cannot put on the other side. And that is literally and historically correct. The Jews in the ancient world represented an element, if you will, of monotheism, of belief in monotheism. And as we read his story, you can also sense in this very human being the strength of the man, the courage, the iron will, which enabled him to set a people of slaves free and to mold them into a nation. The great artist of the Renaissance, perhaps the greatest of all, Michelangelo, was able to catch some of this masterful, this majestic strength of the man, the grave dignity of him, a powerful and purposeful personality. But Michelangelo did not catch was the utter humanity of the man and the utter humility of the man, qualities which the Bible very pointedly and deliberately and time and again points out. V'ha'ish Moshe anav me'od, mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama. This man Moses was the most humble of all men who ever lived upon the face of the earth. Was the supreme tribute which the Bible pays to this titanic figure of all religious history. And that is very characteristic, not only of Moses, but of the people whom Moses fashioned and who revered and honored Moses as representing the supreme virtues which the people revered and honored. ולפני כבוד ענווה, above all honors and all glories, comes humility. Jews hated the proud, those who exalted themselves by virtue of special equipments, of powers, of talents, or even genius, but those who exalted themselves above men, those who sought to domineer. The imprint of the Torah, said the rabbis, is humility. Scholars of the Torah are recognized in the street by the humility of their walk and their speech and their dress. He who for the sake of the Torah makes himself small in this world will be great in the world to come. But this is not an accidental virtue among a host of other virtues praised by our people. It is remarkable how much emphasis is placed in the Bible and in rabbinic literature on this quality of modesty, of humility, of lowliness of spirit in a human being. It was sensed by our people that the proud and the arrogant can never approach God, because you cannot approach God in any spirit but the spirit of lowliness and humility. Walking humbly with God was of the three virtues which constitute religion that Micah spoke of, the doing of justice and the loving of mercy and the walking humbly with God. And so this is the first great quality exemplified in this personality with which one would not expect this quality to be associated. Humility. And also the quality, which is also precious in the sight of our people, the quality of what I might call shepherding love. Shepherding love. The love that looks out for others, that tends and watches over others as a shepherd does his flock. Moshe Hayar Roer, Moses was a shepherd. And that's a key to his character. And he was a shepherd all his life, whether it was with the flock of Jethro out in the wilderness, or when it was when he led his rebellious host of slaves for 40 years through the wilderness to the promised land. Always he remained in spirit and in attitude a shepherd. Our people loved the quality of shepherding love that spoke of God as a shepherd. Adonai roi lo echsar, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The rabbis tell of how God came to select Moses to be the leader of the people. Moses was a shepherd tending the flock, and a young lamb strayed away from the flock and was lost. And Moses went out to look for that lost lamb. And he found this little lamb that had fallen among rocks and stones and broken its leg, bleating and crying. And Moses picked up the little lamb, tended it, looked after it, set its broken leg, carried it in his arms back to the flock. And God said, a man who can so look after a lost lamb from the flock, who can be that kind of a shepherd, is qualified to be the shepherd of my people. Moses never thought of himself, only of his people. I read you the story this morning from the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. story of the building of the golden calf. This act of black apostasy and treason on the part of a people, treason to their God, who had just brought them out of slavery and led them across the Red Sea and leading them on to freedom. Moses had left them, gone up to Mount Sinai, and the people felt themselves without a leader and without the leader's God. And so they called upon Aaron and said, make us a God like the Egyptians worship. And Aaron told him, give me your gold and I will make you a God. And he did, a golden calf, a cow, such as the Egyptians worship. And the people began to sacrifice to that God. And the Lord became angry with his people and resolved to destroy them and said to Moses, let me alone, va'achaleim, and I will consume them. You're unworthy. And out of you I will rebuild the nation and make of thee a great nation. But Moses wasn't thinking of himself. Moses was thinking of his people. And he pleaded with God, do not destroy this people. They have been slaves. They and their ancestors, for hundreds of years, they don't know any better. Give them a chance. They will learn better, either they or the generation after them. Ve'imayin, and if not, if thou, O Lord, canst not forgive them, v'cheinina misifracha asher katavta, erase me from thy book which thou hast written. I don't want to live without them. Rather me than they. I am only a tool. Break me, not them. Moses loved his people. He knew them to be very rebellious. Mamrim hayitem mim Adonai, mi yom da'ati etchem. You were rebellious, said Moses, just before he died to his people. You have been rebellious from the very day that I knew you. But he loved them. When they were in fear, he heartened them. When they were in grief, he comforted them. And significantly enough, the people knew it and understood it fully. Oh, they often in fear and in doubt and in despair, in their hunger and their thirst in the wilderness, and in their fierce impatience, they would turn against Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To perish here in the wilderness. They would denounce him. They would rebel against him as Korach and his host did. Very often Moses had to say, oh good Lord, before long they will stone me to death. This people. But down deep in their hearts, the people knew that Moses loved them and therefore they loved and admired him. When he left them to go up to Mount Sinai, they felt as though their protector and their guide had vanished. The man on whom they could lean, their shepherd, whose rod and whose staff guided them. And when Moses died, Vayivku bnei Yisrael et Moshe be'aravot Moav shloshim yom, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Moses was humble, with a shepherding love for his people, but he was also strong, with the strength of granite. He wasn't a weak man. Somehow we associate humility and love with weakness. Not at all. To be humble and to be loving requires the greatest strength of human character. It is weakness in a man to be proud and arrogant and selfish, not strength. Strength is found in humility and strength is found in selfless love. Moses dare to face up to the king of Egypt, to the Pharaoh, and demand that the people go forth? Moses dare to face up to his own people and endure their distrust and their accusations, their infamous attack upon him? Moses was strong to lead with a firm hand this motley mob, to give them a law, to lead them for 4 decades through war and danger and hunger and thirst to the gates of the promised land. When it was necessary, he was strong enough to punish his people. After the building of the golden calf, he sifted out the malefactors, the leaders, those who had misled the people, and 3,000 of them were slain. That strength in the man qualified him to be a liberator, leader of the revolution, the first great revolution in human history. That kind of spiritual strength is what our people always admired. Our people never worshipped brute power, never impressed by sheer force, was contemptuous of it. But the fearless spirit that we have come to call the prophetic spirit, that our people admired, revered. When Jeremiah received his consecration vision to become a prophet to his people, God said unto him, "Behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze wall, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land." A fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze wall of the spirit. That's what our people admired. And Moses was the Avi HaNaviim, the father of all the prophets. He came to know God panim el panim, as the Bible put it, figuratively, of course, not literally, face to face. He came to understand God more profoundly than any of the other prophets. And he set the tradition for all the prophets. And his spirit broods over all of them, Isaiah and Amos and Hosea and Jeremiah. They speak in the spirit of the immortal Moses, the prophet. Wherein does prophecy consist, really? What is prophecy? Prophecy consists in proclaiming, unafraid, to all the people, the law, the moral law of God, the law of justice and love and equality, freedom, peace. Prophecy was the mandate to call sinners and oppressors and exploiters and tyrants of men to account and to repentance. Prophecy was to defend the cause of the widow and the orphan, defenseless, the weak. Prophecy was the great moral sense of the human race. That's the Torah of Moses. That's the law of Moses. One law for all men, regardless, for all nations, regardless. Lo takiru panim bamishpat, you shall not recognize people in judgment. All people are alike. Lo taguru mipneish, you shall not be afraid of any man. Ki hamishpat Elohim, who, or law, belongs to God. This spirit of prophecy has always been at the heart of Judaism. That is the essence of our faith. There is ritual in our religion and ceremony, important. There is custom and observance, important. There is public worship, important. There is theology and speculation, all important. But informing them all and underlying them all is Dan Din Aniv Evyon Astov, judge the case of the poor and of the needy, that is the good. Alohi Hadat Oti Neumadanoi. This is knowing me, saith God. The moral law, the prophetic law, that is the essence of Judaism. Speaking of law, Moses is the lawgiver. Judaism is based on law. Chukim, mishpatim, laws, statutes, ordinances. Judaism believed in the rule of law, not in the rule of men. Certain other religions, Christianity among them, came to look upon law as a sort of a burden, sort of a hindrance to the spiritual life of man. Only faith was important. In the case of Christianity, faith in the crucifixion, incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. He who believes in him is saved. Works are not as important. A man is saved by believing. In Judaism, a man is saved, if at all, because the whole concept of salvation is alien to Judaism. A man is saved by leading a good life, by obeying the moral law. Laws are required to guide men, to protect society. Even ceremonial laws, ritual laws, have their pedagogic value to train men into the habits of the good life, of the religious life. Judaism is distinguished from nearly every religion of mankind by the fact that it is a religion of law, a Torah. Of course, in the course of time, teachers and rabbis found it necessary to pyramid law upon law, many of them necessary for the time, which later on became unnecessary, and by being retained did prove a burden upon the people. But a reform and liberal movement arose, which began to select the laws which are essential, which are timeless, which are eternal, which are true and valid for all generations, and the laws which have a temporary purpose, which are no longer important. But whether it is Reform Judaism, or liberal Judaism, or conservative Judaism, or traditional Judaism, there is no Judaism without a system of law, moral, and ceremonial. And finally, good friends, Moses was the liberator. Emancipator, liberty. Liberty has always been dear to the heart of our people. Because of their initial experience in Egypt, where they were slaves for 400 years, our people never forgot the taste of servitude, the bitterness of slavery, or hurt to the body and the soul of the lash of the taskmaster, and always yearned for freedom, emancipation, in every department of human life. Vekarata dror, and thou shalt proclaim freedom, liberty, throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That, by the way, that sentence from the book of Leviticus is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell in the city of Philadelphia. To bring the imprisoned out of the prison house, to be a breaker of chain, the sons and daughters of Israel throughout the ages, and it is in their blood, being in the forefront of those who fought mankind's wars of liberation. This great and beloved country of ours drew its inspiration and its authority for the American Revolution, for its Declaration of Independence, for its proclamation of democracy and human equality from Moses, from the Exodus, from the Bible, just as the Pilgrim Fathers, whose holiday the American people will celebrate this coming Thursday, just as they took their inspiration for religious freedom, the freedom of the spirit of man, from the Old Testament, from the book which is the inspiration of Moses. And so, humble, loving, strong, in Moses we find the prophetic spirit of Judaism, his passion for justice, for law, for freedom. More than any other Jew, Moses molded the Jewish people and for all times defined the pattern of Jewish life and of Jewish thought. And not only for Judaism. Moses, that is true of all great spiritual genius, Moses' message could not be limited to any one people, any one country. Its dynamic truth was destined to break through any temporal or territorial limitations, and to surge, flow out, enrich the lives of all man. So the spirit of Moses is reflected in Christianity. The spirit of Moses is reflected in Islam. The spirit of Moses is found today in every effort that is made by human beings of whatever race, whatever clime, which seeks greater freedom for man and the breaking of chains, which seek greater justice for man and the rights of all men, which preaches a way of life, which is a way of humility and kindliness. Wherever that is done, in any part of the world today, there is the soul of Moses. Work as it will be unto eternity. Never arose a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom God knew face to face, and there never arose a prophet in the whole of mankind who so magnificently bodied forth the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations of humanity as did Moses, the man of God.